Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
We're rolling out the Tuesday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you would like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, so yeah, you get one up. Hopefully you get one up there tomorrow morning. You know how that goes. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to hit the link, get yourself a Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we'd greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, there's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, you can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three.
Now, we talked a little bit about this yesterday, Dan, the Major League Baseball draft, and, you and I admitted that we don't watch much of it, but I found it quite humorous today. The Giants had the second pick, and they took a catcher out of Georgia Tech by the name of Joey Bart. You know, I mean, great scouting report. I saw the scouting report, all that stuff. Today, I don't remember who it was, some jackass on the MLB Network, they were talking to a Giants reporter, actually asked what this means for Buster Posey's future with the team. Yeah. So, yeah, I was just kind of like, best case scenario, this kid is probably 4 years away from the majors. Posey will be 34 or 35 by then. You know, they probably, you know, he may have already transitioned to first base at this point. But, yeah, this is the kind of stupidity you get when you try to make the baseball draft more important than it is. So,
but you know, at 20 years old, or is he 22? How old is he?
This guy they just. So.
Yeah, he was born in 96. So he's roughly 20 years old. But, you know, he was actually, supposed to be drafted in 2015 by the Rays, but when he committed to college, that's it. But, you know, I'm not going to give you a scouting report on it. If you want to look it up, go to MLB.com. You can follow the tracker. But Big Jack, I found a couple of notable things out of it. Casey Mize is, I don't have the phonetic spelling of his last name, but I thought it was interesting to know that he is the third first rounder to come out of, or first pick to come out of Auburn. And this is where I'm going to give you the question. Frank Thomas was the number one, and then Greg Olson. I never really did my research on Bo Jackson, but why was Bo Jackson that number one draft pick?
You know, my guess would be because there was always thought of football.
But I guess in either sport, I was surprised to know that he's not, you know, he wasn't the number one in the NFL.
Well, he was the first round NFL pick, just not the first pick. So, but, you know, that was another one of those things. So Bo, I believe Bo held up some of the bad NFL teams with the threat of going to play baseball full time.
Oh,
so,
okay. And I've got, well, I guess I only have one. I had another question for you, but I think as the first round goes, you know, just considering the first 30 picks, the award for the coolest baseball name goes to pick number 10, and that's Travis Swaggerty. What do you think of that name?
Yeah, you know, well, it's you know, it's more fun to look at the names than it is, you know, anything else, because, you know, like I said, I don't know diddly squat about any of these guys. I know the one kid the other kid they've been talking about all day is the kid who is going to be Oklahoma's starting quarterback. I think his last name is Murray. I don't remember what his first name is, but the A's took him in the first round.
Oh,
so.
Kyler, I mean, that's a new one. I've never heard that name before, so that's a cool one. You know, that one stood out to me. And then, of course, being here from Chicago, we got to talk about how the Cubs drafted another shortstop by the name of Nico Hoerner, 19 years old, roughly, I guess.
You know, that's a plus. Well, you know how this game, shortstops can play anywhere on the field. You know that.
Yeah. You know, one I really just wanted to talk about just a little bit. You actually brought him up yesterday. I think you did, but, you know, with the fourth pick, the White Sox took number 3 ranked Oregon State shortstop. He's a right-hander. Nick Madrigal, sitting at 5'7", 165. He is one of only 3 players in the first round under the 6-foot benchmark. Or fourth. You got 2 5'11ers. You know, the only reason I wanted to bring this up is that I thought it was interesting. I actually tuned in last night to the score, and they had Bruce Levine on. And I think he's a little premature on this, but it would be interesting the way he broke it down. And, you know, he sees in 2020 that this kid could be the White Sox leadoff hitter with Yoan Moncada batting second. What's his name at first base? Who's the first base for the White Sox? First base DH. I don't know why I'm blank on his name. Abreu, batting third with Eloy Jimenez batting fourth. Now, the thing I found most interesting about this is, well, number one, obviously, I think projecting Madrigal to be on the starting day roster in 2020 is a little premature. But if we just go by the names, what I found most interesting is the fact that, you know, Bruce Levine didn't go with a sabermetric batting order. You know, that would be possibly a Braves first and Eloy Jimenez batting second. I mean, do you think in a couple of years we're going to see a few more teams kind of going that route, though? I know it's hard to project something like that, but do you think we'll see a couple of teams? And I mean, I'm not always a fan by any means, but if they put a lineup together like this, I think I'd be really excited.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things where you got to wonder sooner or later when common sense is going to kind of come back into play here, you know, and they start kind of looking at these things and it's like, wait, this is really stupid. Why am I batting this guy here? You know, it makes no sense at all, but you know, we'll kind of see how it goes. But yeah, you know, you can always, you know, there's always going to be that team out there that's going to be a little different. You know, they're going to try what would be a basically just a conventional batting order. You know, here you go. You got a, you know, you got a flop, you got a good hitter next, and then you know, you got your best hitter in the 3 hole and a big time power guy in the 4th spot. Hey, there you go. Makes a lot of sense. You know, and I noticed even lately, you know, the Cubs have been doing that a little more with Bryant 3 and Rizzo 4. So, you know, you got to start to wonder if maybe they're kind of waking up and just kind of realizing that, you know, just because it's said or, you know, you're allegedly, you know, supposed to do things this way, that maybe it's just not working out. So.
Yeah, I guess, you know, depending on the way the White Sox keep going, moving forward, do you think in a couple of years there's going to be a guy, you know, I just don't buy that the White Sox are going to follow suit like the Cubs did. But do you think there's going to be a guy out there that they just drop Ricky Renteria for and go another way? I mean, as compared to the Cubs, they've actually started promoting and putting together commercials, you know, talking about Ricky's voice and, you know, kind of getting the White Sox fans behind him. So do you think maybe we might see him in for maybe not the long haul, but term with the White Sox?
Yeah, you know, I definitely think he'll be there as long as they consider themselves rebuilding, you know, because that was his, you know, catch, his gimmick, however you want to look at it, was he's supposed to be very good working with young players. And obviously that's what a rebuilding team needs, is a coach who, you know, can handle young players and, you know, the quote, teach them the right way to play the game. You know, after that, I mean, you know, who knows, you know, he got the big time screw job here in Chicago. We all know it. You know, just like we all know the Cubs tampered with Joe Maddon and got away with it, but you know, that's fine. I mean, that's neither here nor there. You know, will he get the opportunity to see if they win? You know, you have to wonder now that one team has done it to him, you know, could possibly, you know, the White Sox follow suit? I mean, would it surprise you?
No, it wouldn't, but, you know, I mean, it would really suck for him. I mean, where would he go next? Padres?
Yeah, you know, whoever, you know, there's always somebody rebuilding now in today's baseball. So, you know, that's kind of how things go. But yeah, you know, we'll see. I mean, I hope he gets the chance. But you know, he's gonna lose a lot of games leading up to that. So you know, we'll have to we'll have to see how that kinda works out for him. But yeah, like I said, you know, hopefully he'll get an opportunity. But yeah, you know, that, like I said, that was just kind of my humorous thing today when they brought that up and they were like, yeah, well, what's this mean for Buster Posey? I'm like, well, that means he plays out his career with the Giants, then he waits 5 years to go into the Hall of Fame. That's what this means for Buster Posey. So, you know, it was just kind of like, you're kidding me, you know, I mean, We're gonna fast track this guy to the majors, and we're gonna get rid of Buster Posey for him. Okay, that sounds like a fantastic plan. So
by next season, too, right?
Yeah, you know, and I mean, you know, I mean, obviously they said a lot of good things about this guy. You know, like of course you would expect them to. You know, maybe he will fast track, and he's here in, you know, 2 or 3 years. But I. You know, even so, you're talking about, you know, World Series champion, MVP, you know, one of the best players in, you know, probably not one of the best players in history. You know, I mean, you know, at least you got to figure he's going to be top five by the time he retires. And yeah, we're going to bump him because we used the second pick on this guy. You know, people got to realize, you know, too hung up on the fact that you get excited about the draft, and it's not the NBA or the NFL. You know, these guys rarely, if ever, now walk in and play. You know, I know Mike Leake was the last one to do that, and look at his stat. You know, is that really what you want out of a guy? You know, he's not a 20-game winner. I don't even know if he's been a 15-game winner in his career. You know, hopefully he does it this year for the Mariners, because I'd like to see them do well, but you know, I mean, there's not a lot of success when, you know, when at the rate where these guys start, you know, kind of rolling up here early. So let's hold the horses down before we send Buster Posey away.
Yeah. Well, number one, I have to say, I really hope of all guys that he retires a Giant, and I don't mean coming back after playing for another team for 3 or 4 years. I mean, you know, just playing with the Giants. But, you know, and it's because you don't see that often anymore, and I think he'd be that guy who could do it. And then I forgot where I was going to go. But yeah.
Oh, well, that's that good. Since you are on the Giants, Dan, you know, Bumgarner comes back tonight. What do you expect out of his first start here?
I have no clue.
How well you think he'll do?
I'm thinking he'll go about 5-6 innings, but I didn't think he would do well enough to pick him in one of the FanDuels you invited me to.
Yeah, no, I did not use him either. I was concerned that he would just get a, you know, get the short outings. You know, normally they're real careful with these first time off. So I did not go with him either.
Yeah. Now, you brought up your stupidity of the day, and we've got to try to figure out how to turn this into a segment, you know, get some music or some kind of sounders to go with it. We'll worry about that later. But my stupid of the day, so I'm scrolling through Facebook, and I keep seeing articles from Chicago writers talking about Jake Arrieta's return to Chicago to sit on the bench. So if you read the headline and read maybe the first couple lines of the articles, you're thinking that Jake Arrieta is going to be returning to Chicago to pitch against the Cubs today, tomorrow, or Thursday. But when you check the lineup, you're sadly misinformed to find out that he is not going to be doing anything against the Cubs. So what's the big deal?
Yeah, I don't understand that either. You know, I mean, it's not like, you know, I mean, what's the best case scenario? In a blowout, he gets a pinch hit at bat. So, you know, is that the best? Yeah, I don't. You know how it is. These things have confused me for, you know, quite some time when they come up with this crap. It's just like, you know, because like at first when we started talking about this last week, I was excited. I thought he was going to get to make a start. And then, yeah, it was a freaking game off. I was like, damn. So, you know, it was just kind of like, you know, here we go. But, yeah, I don't get it. What's the big deal?
I just didn't get it. But of course, you know, I think part of the big deal is because now you can write a little bit about Jake Arrieta, and then you could write about his 0.93 ERA in June, aren't we only 5 days into June, so that means he only had one start compared to...
Yeah, he only made the one start against the Giants.
Yeah, so I mean, it's not like he pitched 5 games in 5 days, right? When you compare his start...
He's not certain,
Romo. Yeah, well, against you, Darvish, going on the DL. So I was trying to figure out what the hell the point of this person's article was, so... I didn't even bother to read it because I didn't want to waste my time on stupidity.
So, yeah, it always baffles me, you know, and it's difficult with a pitcher, you know, guys coming back to town, blah, blah, blah. Okay, well, if he's not starting, it's not that big a deal. You know, and this is kind of the case here. You know, Arrieta's not going to make a start, so why is this an issue? You know, so yeah, you know, again, like, you know, like you said, sometimes I think this is something to write about. So yeah, you know, they're going with the fact that he's coming back to town, and that's what they're going to use.
And he's going to go visit his old apartment and go have some breakfast at Giordano's. Go to Portillo's.
Yeah, you know, he's obviously he's going to have all the free time because he's not pitching. So, you know, he can tour the city. Maybe he can, you know, maybe he can go on with your guy David Kaplan and whatever show he's got going on nowadays.
The former Cub great David Havens.
Yeah. So, you know, and I mean, I'm sure, you know, I'm sure they're going to want to hound Arrieta about the, you know, the gift. You know, that'll be how, you know, how those things just kind of go. They're going to want to talk to him about that. So, but yeah, I don't know. I did find it interesting. I don't know if you saw this one or not, but the Yankees got what I think would be considered a pretty big win today. They got ESPN, or the Mickey Mouse Network, as we like to call them here, to take them off of Sunday Night Baseball. So they have they have a doubleheader schedule for, what is it here? One day after a straight 405 doubleheader scheduled in Baltimore Thursday. Is this?
No, it's a Sunday night. They're up against like somebody, and then the next day they have the doubleheader.
Is that what it is? Okay. Yeah, this article is actually kind of confusing. Here they say it would be they would have to start the game at 1:07 the day after or something like that. So yeah, they got the good old Mickey Mouse Network to drop them. I'm sure they were thrilled about that, because you know it's the East Coast and they only like to show Yankee games. So, but I thought that was kind of interesting that they were able to get a victory there. You know, normally you don't win those kind of things.
No, you don't. And the Yankees claim that ESPN scheduled it just recently, where ESPN, you know, said they did it back in December because they thought blah, blah, blah. You know, something to showcase more. I don't know. But yeah, you're right. I'm surprised they moved the game. But you know, part of it was Yankees agreed that they would boycott. And you know, when I first read that, I was like, what are you gonna do, Neil, during, you know, during your interviews? But they decided that if they didn't get taken off, they weren't gonna participate in any extra. You know, Aaron Boone wouldn't do the in-game interviews, and none of the players would, you know, participate in any kind of segments or whatever. So it would have hurt the show, but, you know, being that they have Alex Rodriguez in the booth with them, do they really need the Yankee players?
Yeah, you know, I mean, that is, as weird as it sounds, that is kind of an interesting question. Did they, you know, did they need to come up with them? So, I'm scrambling here. If I seem a little distracted, I am. I realize that I didn't make changes in our Yahoo group, and I'm ready to start. So I got to run in, Dan, and make sure I got my pitchers in. So, because I don't want to have a Black Tuesday. You know, I figure with the position players, if I goof up, you know, I'm okay there, but I don't want to lose. Like, you know, I had Max Scherzer on one team and he's making the start, and I have Kyle Hendricks on another. You know, like the one negative about Yahoo, like I have Lucas Giolito who's starting game two for the White Sox, but since game one has already started, I can't use him. I can't put him in my lineup. So,
yeah,
I'm going to lose that start in those.
It might not be a bad thing for you.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's possible. But, you know, even so, it's still kind of like, well, you know, it would be nice to have him there. And I do have to tell you, this Anthony Rizzo as a second baseman, I really very much enjoy, you know, having the option to be able to plug him in at second like this. It's quite entertaining.
I totally forgot about that.
Yeah, so, you know, even though I believe you and I know he's not a second baseman, never played second base, but, you know, hey, I'll take it. So, you know, just kind of the way it worked out. But it does look like I managed to make one. I, you know, I'm going to go with lucky because that's just kind of how things go out. You know, our money league, I've been streaming pitchers since Robbie Ray got hurt, and I always take two start guys. And this week I decided to take a chance on Ronaldo Lopez. Even though he had two pretty tough starts, he had a start against the Twins today, and then he's bouncing back. I think his other start is against the Red Sox. But I kind of thought he was worth a gamble, and he just had a really good outing in game one. So I'm hoping, you know, hoping that kind of paid off for us there a little bit, because I know our pitching has been better, but our hitting has just been nightmarish, and you know it's all my fault. So I could use to catch a break there. Be a very big positive for me. But there, I did manage to save myself and get my pitching in, so I will be I won't be too bad off when it comes to how this works. Because God forbid you want to lose innings in our league where you need, what is it, 33 now to hit your number. You don't want to lose any of those.
No, you don't.
So, but yeah, I did use Giolito in one of those free rolls for FanDuel. So we'll have to see how that works out. You know, he was, you know, I figured it was a free roll. What the heck? I would take a shot there and just, you know, kind of throw, you know, throw some random guys. And I believe that may be the league I decided to stack in. I'll give me a second. I'll go in and double check it. But I loaded up on Reds and Rockies, and we'll see. You know, I don't know. Have you ever tried stacking when you do your lineups?
No, I may have done it once, but you know, I noticed earlier today I put in two Cubs, and I'm like, whoa, take it easy there, killer.
Yeah, because I, you know, I've tried it occasionally, and I know a lot of people really like it, and they think it's the way to go. I have just zero luck when it comes to stacking a lineup. So, but here I can give you. We had you know, like I said, I had two free rolls. So this is what I. Oh no, actually, I changed my mind on Giolito. I went with Jason Vargas. So I he's the guy I went with in the league I stacked in. He cost me $6,100. I have Tucker Barnhart in the catcher first base slot. He's hitting second for the Reds, cost me $2,200. DJ LeMahieu's at second base. He's leading off for the Rockies, cost me $3,500. Nolan Arenado at third base. He's hitting third for the Rockies, cost me $5,000. Jose Peraza at short. He's hitting eighth for the Reds, cost me $3,200. My outfield starts with Charlie Blackman of the Rockies, cost me $4,700. He's hitting second. Then I got the Schwarb. I'm going with Kyle Schwarber tonight, Dan, so that pretty much puts the jinx on him. He's hitting sixth for the Cubs, cost me $3,900. And then my outfield rounds out with Jesse Winker of the Reds. He's leading off for them, cost me $2,500. And then my utility guy is Joey Votto, hitting third for the Reds, cost me $3,900. So I have four Reds and three Rockies, so I'm banking on that game being offensive. So four Reds, three Rockies, and Kyle Schwarber.
I don't think so. Good luck.
Yeah. Then the other one, I think I went kind of the obvious way. I took Max Scherzer in the other one. He cost me $12,000, but he's pitching against Tampa Bay. So I think there's a real big potential there, and it's just the opportunity of finding guys who can hit. So my catcher first baseman there is Robinson Chirinos. Hitting seventh for the Rangers cost me $2,200. I got Jed Lowry of the A's at second. He's hitting third for them, cost me $3,500. Danny Valencia of the Orioles is my third baseman. He's hitting cleanup there, cost me $2,400. I did spend at shortstop. I went with Francisco Lindor, cost me $4,700. He's leading off for the Indians. My outfield starts with Cargo. Going with Carlos Gonzalez. Hitting fourth for the Rockies cost me $2,600. Randall Grichuk of the Blue Jays hitting seventh for them tonight cost me $2,200. My outfield wraps up with Aaron Altherr of the Phillies cost me $2,000. He's hitting fifth for them. My utility guy in this league is Austin Meadows of the Pirates cost me $3,400. He's hitting second for them. So, yeah, those are the two free rolls. So I'm just hoping something works out here.
Yeah, I actually couldn't get into the second one you sent, but I went with Sabathia, Gary Sanchez, Cesar Hernandez, Eugenio Suarez, Gene Segura, Ben Zobrist, and maybe this will be a double negative, Kyle Schwarber, Matt Kemp, and Alex Bregman.
Yeah, well, that means the Schwarb is definitely done for the night if you and I both have him. So, sorry, Kyle. We'll apologize very early to you. We just wiped you out. So sorry about that, buddy. Yeah, and these get going in about 4 minutes, but they are late swap leagues, so you can go in and make your changes whenever you need to, as long as the game has started. And that's actually why I got a free roll, an extra free roll today. They had a glitch or something in the system last night. Where you could actually go in and swap out the Giants and the Diamondbacks while the game was going on.
Did you do it?
No, I was asleep. So, but I am looking here. Yeah. This is a little disappointing. I'm finding out the White Sox lost that game 4-2. After Ronaldo Lopez pitched 7 shutout innings, good old Nate Jones came in and pissed away the lead on him, gave us 4 runs in just 2/3 of an inning. So my good outing may just go to hell here, Dan, because of a extremely poor White Sox bullpen.
Yeah, but if you have him in a fantasy league, at least you got the QS.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember if that counts in our league. I gotta look here because it's a points league. So I gotta see how he stacked up today for me. If not getting the win just kind of killed me because he did strike out 4, but he also walked 4. So that's gonna kind of offset each other there. So they should have his point total in already. It's normally up to date. Nate Jones just kind of pushed away my. Yeah, he went for 7 points, which is pretty much below average of what he should have been. So that's too bad that Nate Jones sucks to get out of the young pitcher. But that's the life block. Welcome to rebuilding.
Yeah, well, I mean, they could have always brought in Joaquin Soria.
Yeah, well, it's like I keep hearing them talking about how they want Nate Jones to develop into their closer, and it's just pretty clear now that that's not going to happen, and they need to go another way. But, fantasy-wise, I'm sure most people have Yoan Moncada. I'm sure he was drafted in most leagues. He was 2-for-5 with a couple runs scored and an RBI, and he did homer. So you got that going. Adam Engel went 2-for-4 if you happen to have him. And then Yolmer Sanchez, Jose Abreu, Daniel Polka, and Charlie Tilson each had a hit. Polka and Abreu's were doubles. On the Twins side, the only guy with 2 hits was Eduardo Escobar. But if you were playing him today, one was a double and one was a homer. So he picked up a run scored and 3 RBIs to go along with his hits there, I guess we should say. Besides that, the Twins only had two other hits. Brian Dozier had one, and Miguel Sano had one. Sano drove in a run, and Dozier scored a run. So, yeah, the Twins only managed four hits, and yet they still beat the incredibly poor White Sox. Starter-wise, the Twins rookie Fernando Romero got the start for them. He gave you a quality starter if you're using them. Six innings, seven hits, two runs, didn't walk anybody, struck out four. I mentioned Lopez. Ronaldo Lopez went seven, just one hit, no runs, walked four, struck out four. If you had Fernando Rodney, he went an inning, picked up a strikeout, and got a save. So,
oh, good for him.
So, yeah, there's the Tyler Duffy officially got the win. I don't know if anybody has him. You know, I know in our league, those guys are actually important. I don't know how all the other leagues go or handle those guys. So,
you know, speaking of the White Sox, I don't know if I heard him wrong, but I believe Eloy Jimenez, I just wish I could say it like non-understanding of Spanish language people that say it. Jimenez, maybe I did say it the wrong way. But regardless, was player of the month in the minors down there this month. And the consensus is that we will see him. Now, I know if you were the coach or the front office or whatever, you'd have him up here. I don't know if you'd have him up here now or you wait till after trade deadline stuff. But, you know, I guess that's kind of where I'm leaning. With the White Sox outfield, aside from Adam Engel, I forgot who else plays out there. Is that one guy from Detroit still there?
He's hurt.
Oh, he's hurt.
Yeah, Avisail Garcia.
Oh, there we go.
He's on the DL.
Yeah. Obviously, we don't have three Garcias playing in the outfield and on the south side anymore.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, do the White Sox have someone in that outfield right now or – by a trade deadline that they would be able to move for, you know, I don't know what you'd be able to move him for to make room for Eloy, or does a guy like Adam Engel just get dropped from the team? You know, what do you foresee in this White Sox outfield to make room for Eloy? Because the consensus is he's going to play right field and not center or left.
Obviously there's always ways they can kind of shuffle this or move this around. The interesting thing, of course, is just the fact that, you know, Avisail Garcia plays right field. I'm sure he could move to left or, you know, there's always the DH options there. You know, there's definitely different things they can do with him. Yeah, I think more and more with a team like this, if you need to, you know, you need to make a move, you don't have to, not a lot of things involved. I mean, you know, these guys are kind of in this situation for a reason, right? So.
Yeah, I just didn't know, you know, I hate to say it, I really don't pay a whole lot of attention to what's going on there. I mean, you know, we know Moncada's there. I think everyone, us included, are waiting for Tim Anderson to kind of prove his worth, is the word. I don't know if that's the word. But, you know, I just was wondering, you know, what room do they have for Eloy to come up, or do they have to get rid of somebody? You know, what kind of moves, I guess, would you say, would they have to make? And do they really have anybody to trade away anymore?
Yeah, you know, I think in a perfect world, they actually probably wouldn't mind moving Avisail Garcia, but I don't know if there's really going to be a taker there for him. Yeah, you know, maybe if he would have stayed healthy, and, you know, because he was hitting pretty well until he got hurt. You know, maybe there would have been a little more of a market for him then, but yeah, I think in their case, you know, they have a young enough roster. They may just ship a, you know, a Charlie Tilson or even a Lurie Garcia may just get shipped out to wherever they got to go, AAA or whatever, to bring Jimenez up. I'll be interested to see if and when they call him up. You know, will they wait for September, or, you know, will he be here before that to start getting it back? You know, there's always Trace Thompson, who's been designated by, what is it, three teams this year? Maybe the Sox could be his fourth, because he's only hitting about 26. So it's not like he's putting up the kind of numbers where you go, oh, we got to keep this guy.
Yeah, I mean, he had a rough couple of weeks there.
Yeah, you know, it was kind of weird. And I was wrong. Garcia wasn't hitting when he got hurt. He was only hitting 233. So, but I mean, you know, you kind of look at this roster and it's just, who are you going to trade? I mean, obviously there's a market for Abreu, you know, even at the first baseman, just because of the numbers he puts up, but you know, he's really your only veteran. You think you want to keep somebody around. I don't know, you know, like I know Yomer Sanchez is having a really good year and he seems to be one of those guys who could be, you know, what you described as like a spark plug for a team. I don't think he's anywhere else but the White Sox. I think he's a bench player anywhere else. So I just don't know what's there. Other than that, I mean, Anderson's not going anyplace. He's young. They're not trading Moncada. You know, there's no, you know, none of the outfielders have any real value. So, you know, I mean, do you trade Matt Davidson? Does the team need a power hitter? You trade Matt Davidson and hope you get something for him?
Possibly. Before I take my break, my question to you is, you know, back in 2011, I was down in KC and we really had a, on paper, there was a nice team. That turned into a World Series championship. And I liked that lineup back then. You know, they were missing Jeff Francoeur as the World Series came. But do you really see that kind of lineup just on paper right there right now?
No, you know, this team is definitely still a few tweaks away from that. You know, like obviously we need to see some of these guys every day to see if they're kind of the real deal. I mean, you know, Eloy Jimenez has been really successful everywhere he's went. The major leagues becomes a whole different story. You know, we've seen this with guys before. You know, they can come up and, you know, scuffle a little bit. You know, one of the things you got to remember, you know, remember Mike Trout in his first call-up only hit, I think it was a .190. It may have even been lower than that. I'll have to double check that there real quick. I can knock out some Mike Trout stats here. So yeah, you just don't know, you know, how long guys are going to take to adjust. You know, we saw it with Kyle Schwarber on the other side of town in Chicago. You know, he came up and hit really well and was so bad last year they had them send him back to Iowa. Yeah, Trout hit .222 in 40 games back in 2011. So, even those guys, you know, and obviously he's going to go down as, you know, he is the best player currently in baseball. And, you know, he's, you know, going to, you know, on track to be a Hall of Famer. But, you know, even those kind of guys have their issues sometimes the first time here. And it can take a little bit to just kind of get rolling. So, you know, we'll have to see. I mean, the Astros went through it, you know, with their guys and, you know, they did some tweaking. Remember at one point in time, you know, everybody thought Jonathan Singleton was going to be their first baseman. Now he's been released. So, you know, there's a lot of issues and changes and stuff that, you know, that kind of go on with it. And, you know, we'll see. I mean, I'm sure there's probably guys in the minors right now that, you know, we're not going to get to see, even though we've been talking about them for who knows how many years now. So, you know, it could just be one of those. You know, just one of those issues. I mean, obviously, I think we're going to see Jimenez. You know, they like him very much, but you know, again, I mean, who knows about these other guys? You know, will they get here, or like the Cubs? You know, remember we talked about the Cubs prospects for a long time, and they sent those guys off to get the parts they needed to win a World Series. So you got to kind of wonder, will the White Sox be willing to do that same thing? So, you know, we'll have to see. I mean, like Dan mentioned Jimenez, you know, Michael Kopech's been highly rated, signed that Cuban Luis Robert, or Robert, there's no S on it. You know, Dylan Cease looks healthy. They have a couple other pitchers, Alec Hansen, and then Dane Dunning was another guy they got from Washington in the Adam Eaton trade. Imagine if they end up with three pitchers in their rotation just from trading Adam Eaton. That would be kind of humorous. But, you know, Carson Fulmer's been one of those guys who hasn't worked out so far. You know, he started in the rotation in the beginning of the year, and they had to send him back to AAA. So, yeah, you just kind of wonder, you know, if get or how it works out, but you know, they look like they're on the right track, I think.
You know, but at least the White Sox had the, I don't know, the nerve, the gall, whatever, to realize that, oh, this kid's not working out. So instead of dragging it out, let's just send him back down and let him get his work in, and maybe that will actually help him, as opposed to dragging somebody along that doesn't really need to be up there and waiting until, you know, 3 months after the fact, and they could have did it early. Sadly, from the way it's going, I mean, I'll be honest with you, I don't think Giolito is going to be the one that lasts with the White Sox.
Yeah, you know,
You know, of course you never know the prospects. Everything seems to be great in their minor league system when it comes to that pitching and what the future rotation holds. But if anything, I think if they hang on to Giolito, he's going to be your fifth guy, or I don't know what'll happen to him, to be honest with you. He seemed to have it last year. He was kind of blowing guys away and maybe not winning as great, but he was definitely striking guys out. And you know, I tried looking at his numbers since that trade you sent me, and I just can't get behind him right now for him.
Yeah, it, you know, well, on the plus side, I mean, he didn't walk anybody in his last start. So, you know, I mean, sometimes you just need those, you know, those little things to get you going.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, he's been, you know, it's one of those things, you look at him and you can tell he's got all the tools, but, you know, there's plenty of guys with all the tools that don't make it. So, you know, it just will, you know, it's kind of a willy or won'ty thing. I mean, does he end up being the guy, or, you know, maybe he's not the ace at the top of the rotation, but maybe he comes in and he's a real solid two or three or even four, and he wins 12 to 15 games a year, you know, every year. I think they would be happy with that.
Yeah.
You know, because, like, right now, Rolando Lopez really looks like the guy. He's had some really impressive, really good outings, including today. So, but
you know, we
had to find Fulmer. Real quick, when they sent Fulmer down, he had started 8 games, pitched in 9. He was 2-4 with an 8.07 ERA. So, and he's only 24, so it's not like he's done. It's, you know, it's just he's still young, and maybe he needs a little more time to develop. But even Giolito's ERA right now is 7.53. So, you know, you'd like to see that come down.
At least to 4. you know, with the way they've been doing things, you know, it's never easy to really predict what your prospects are going to do. But if all plays well, I mean, and this team in 3 years becomes maybe a playoff contending team and maybe 4 to 5 actually, you know, contenders for a World Series, do you think they're going to have to go the route where they're buying pitching in the bullpen and closer-wise as opposed to having to do what the Cubs did and buy starting pitching?
You know, I think a lot is going to end up depending on what they do with Michael Kopech. You know, right now through their system, he's been a starter. But boy, man, his stuff reads as like top-notch closer. You know, I mean, he's 95-plus, touches 100, you know, a lot of the time. You know, I mean, he's that kind of guy you think he could just come in and dominate. But, you know, right now he's been doing some starting. I know he's in Charlotte. Here, I found his stats. He's started 11 games, 2-3 with a 4.89 ERA. You know, they were worried about his control, but he only has 29 walks compared to 70 strikeouts in 53 and a third innings. So, you know, we'll have to see there. But yeah, otherwise they're definitely going to have to find a big time closer. They got to find that guy at the back end of the bullpen. Which you can do. I mean, obviously, you know, teams have found those guys. You know, maybe one develops out of their system, or maybe they're going to have to go pay one.
Yeah, well, you know, that was the other route I was going to go with. It was, you know, say a guy like guys like Giolito or Fulmer just can't really achieve that starting, you know, starting rotation kind of mentality or work. Do you think it's possible to convert these guys into bullpen?
You know, I'm not so sure about Giolito. I don't know if he could close. You know, obviously he could be a long man. Looking at Homer, he made two starts at AAA. He's 1-1 with a 3.27 ERA. He's having a little problem walking guys, though. He's walked 10 guys in 11 innings, which was part of his issue, you know, at the major league level, and that's going to get you killed here. He walked 24 guys in 32 and a third. Maybe he could be the guy to make the conversion, but I'm not sure if Giolito could ever be a closer. He could be a swing guy or something like that, maybe.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. I mean, it's, you know, unfortunately, or fortunately, you need guys to fill all the roles. And, you know, if it doesn't work in the starting position, and that's what I meant with the bullpen, you think it's possible that they can, you know, hold White Sox be able to hold on to these guys and, you know, maybe take that middle relief role? Or, you know, I don't know if the White Sox will continue to go in a strictly sabermetric route, you know, where you need a long relief pitcher to pitch from the fifth inning to the eighth inning in that sense. But, you know, I think it would be definitely valuable for a team, not just the White Sox, but if they're not able to turn in their guy into a full-time starter, that he's able to make, you know, his innings in the bullpen and he'll be able to strike out guys and, you know, contribute to the team. Cause at the end of the day, it's about winning the games.
Yeah. I know one of the interesting things I'm noticing here with the White Sox is Michael Kopech, you know, well, I guess you could still count Carson Fulmer, but Michael Kopech is really the only prospect in AAA right now. You know, everybody else is in AA. You know, you mentioned Jimenez there. Zach Collins is there. You know, he's a big time catching prospect for them. So, you know, they're all still a little ways away, I think. You know, like I mentioned, Dane Dunning as part of the Adam Eaton trade. He's down here in AA. You know, we've talked about Dylan Cease before. He's still in high class A. So they're, you know, while they have these guys and we have these names and everything, man, they're still a long way away. So, you know, I don't know.
You know, Bruce Levine brought up something. He's the Chicago's score beat guy for the White Sox and I think the Cubs. One of the things he brought up was that there's not a huge difference between the AA and the AAA. But, you know, he leaned more towards saying that, you know, with the guys you named, especially with the AA guys, that it might be more beneficial for them to stay on that team, working with the coaches that they're working with. But not only that, the group of guys that you just mentioned together, kind of being able to work together as a team.
Yeah, you know, I've heard a lot of guys say it's not that big a deal to make the jump from AA to the majors, but, you know, for some reason, I think I would just always be a little more comfortable if the guy had a few AAA starts under, you know, games under his belt. You know, even if it's just a week or 10 days worth of it, I think it could really, it could really benefit a guy. Just for the fact that they would be around a lot of former major leaguers. So, you know, that could be interesting, you know, or at least for them, you know, maybe they could pick up something or learn something or, you know,
yeah.
Who knows, but, you know, we'll have to see. I mean, you know, it's how things go. You know, there was a baseball thing I wanted to ask you and I'm just completely spaced it off and drawn a blank and I can't remember now.
That's all right, because we're running out of time and we usually talk about all sports, which usually ends up being almost all baseball. But last night, another exciting game, more so if you're not a fan of the Vegas Golden Knights, because they kind of got their butts handed to them last night. Sucks for me because the way it's looking, going to have to be purchasing a shirt for you instead of you getting one for me. And then I'll have to get one for myself too. And just so my wife shuts up about it, I'll have to get her one. But I mean, it was damn right exciting. You know, one of the things I mentioned, you know, you asked me, what did I think the Vegas had to do? And I told you it was protect that goalie. And they, I don't know if you want to say they did a horrible job of it, but they were non-existent in front of that goal. You know, there's been people that been kind of saying that they're not surprised and this is the way they expected it, but how can you even say that when, I was going to say, because the Golden Knights did not lose at home until the Capitals beat them in the playoffs. That's a lot of games. So I just, you know, I'm surprised by that, but the thing that really that kicked me in the butt was when I got home, turned the game on, and realized they were still in Washington, and I was talking about how they're going to be in Vegas last night. So, once again, I will go with what I said, and that is, hey, Big Jack, Thursday night, they're going to be back in Vegas, and that should maybe give them the boost, blah, 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 if the extraordinarily long pre-entrance show worked out for them, but you know, we'll talk a little bit more about it tomorrow.
Sports Time Radio.